Chapter 30. Sean woke feeling happy. Katrina was sitting up in bed, filling cups from a pewter coffee pot, and Dirk was hammering at the door to be let in. Katrina smiled at him. "Good morning, Mynheer." Sean sat up and kissed her. "How did you sleep, Fancy?"
"Well, thank you."
But there were dark rings under her eyes. Sean went across to the bedroom door. "Prepare to receive cavalry," he said, and swung it open. Dirk's charge carried him onto the bed, and Sean dived after him. When two men are evenly matched, weight will usually decide. And within seconds, Dirk had straddled Sean's chest, pinning him helplessly, and Sean was pleading for quarter. After breakfast, Embijeni brought the carriage round to the front of the hotel. When the three of them were settled in it, Sean opened the small window behind the driver's seat and told Embijeni, "To the office first. Then we have to be at the exchange by 10 o'clock. Embijeni grinned at him. "Yes, Nkosi. Then lunch at the big house." Embijeni had never been able to master the word Xanadu. They went to all the old places, Sean and Embijeni laughing and reminiscing at each other through the window. There was a panic at the exchange, crowds on the pavement outside. The offices on Elauf Street had been refaced, and a brass plate beside the front door carried the roll of the subsidiaries of Central Rand Consolidated. Embijeni stopped the carriage outside, and Sean boasted to Katrina. She sat silently and listened to him, suddenly feeling inadequate for a man who had done so much. She misinterpreted Sean's enthusiasm and thought he regretted the past and wished he were back. "Embijeni, take us up to the Candy Deep," Sean called at last. "Let's see what's happening there." The last 500 yards of the road was overgrown and pitted with disuse. The administration block had been demolished, and grass grew thick over the foundations. There were new buildings and headgears half a mile further along the ridge, but here the reef had been worked out and abandoned. Embijeni pulled up the horses in the circular drive in front of where the offices had stood. He jumped down and held their heads, while Sean helped Katrina out of the carriage. Sean lifted Dirk and sat him on his shoulder, and they picked their way through the waist-high grass and piles of bricks and rubbish towards the Candy Deep No. 3 shaft. The bare white concrete blocks that had held the machinery formed a neat geometrical pattern in the grass. Beyond them reared the white mine dump. Some mineral in the powdered rock had leaked out in long yellow stains down its sides. Duff had once had the mineral identified. It was of little commercial value, used occasionally in the ceramics industry. Sean had forgotten the name of it. It sounded like the name of a star. Uranus, perhaps. They came to the shaft. The edges of it had crumbled, and the grass hung into it, the way an unkempt moustache hangs into an old man's mouth. The headgear was gone, and only a rusty barbed wire fence ringed the shaft. Sean bent his knees, keeping his back straight, for Dirk still sat on his shoulder. He picked up a lump of rock the size of a man's fist and tossed it over the fence. They stood quietly and listened to it clatter against the sides as it fell. It fell for a long time, and when at last it hit the bottom, the echo rang faintly up from 1,000 feet below.
"Throw more," commanded Dirk,
but Katrina stopped him.
"No, Sean, let's go. It's an evil place."
She shuddered slightly.
"It looks like a grave."
"It very nearly was," said Sean softly, remembering the darkness and the rock pressing down upon him.
"Let's go," she said again.
And they went back to where Embijeni waited with the carriage. Sean was gay at lunch. He drank a small bottle of wine, but Katrina was tired and more miserable than she had ever been since they left Louis Trichardt. She had begun to realise the type of life he had led before she met him, and she was frightened that now he wanted to return to it. She had only known the bush and the life of the Trek Boer. She knew that she could never learn to live like this. She watched as he laughed and joked during the meal. She watched the easy assurance with which he commanded the white head waiter, the way he picked his way through the maze of cutlery that was spread out on the table before them, and at last she could hold it in no longer.
"Let's go away. Let's go back into the bush."
Sean stopped with a loaded fork halfway to his mouth. "What?"
"Please, Sean. The sooner we go, the sooner we'll be able to buy the farm." Sean chuckled.
"A day or two more won't make any difference. We're starting to have fun.
Tonight I'll take you dancing. We were going to be sinful, remember?" "Who'll look after Dirk?"
she asked weakly.
"Ember Janey will."
Sean looked at her closely. "You have a good sleep this afternoon, and tonight we'll go out and tie the dog loose." He grinned at the memories that expression invoked. When Katrina woke from her rest that evening, she found the other part of the reason for her depression. For the first time since the baby, her periodic bleeding had started again. The tides of her body and mind were at their lowest ebb. She said nothing to Sean, but bathed and put on the yellow gown. She brushed her hair furiously, dragging the brush through it until her scalp tingled. But still it hung dull and lifeless, as dull as the eyes that looked back at her out of the yellow face in the mirror. Sean came up behind her and leaned over her to kiss her cheek.
"You look," he said, "like a stack of gold bars 5.5 feet high."
But he realized that the yellow gown had been a mistake. It matched too closely the fever colour of her skin. Ember Janey was waiting in the sitting room when they went through. "It may be late before we return," Sean told him.
"That is of no account, Nkosi."
Ember Janey's face was as impassive as ever, but Sean caught a sparkle of anticipation in his eyes and realized that Ember Janey could hardly wait to get Dirk to himself.
"You're not to go into his room," Sean warned. "What if he cries, Nkosi?"
"He won't. But if he does, see what he wants, give it to him, then leave him to sleep." Ember Janey's face registered his protest.
"I'm warning you, Ember Janey, if I come home at midnight and find him riding you around the room, I'll have both your hides for a caros."
"His sleep will be unspoilt, Nkosi," lied Ember Janey. In the hotel lobby, Sean spoke to the receptionist. "Where can we find the best food in this town?" he asked.
2 blocks down, sir. The Golden Guinea. You can't miss it."
"Sounds like a gin palace." Sean was dubious.
"I assure you, sir, you'll have no complaint when you get there. Everyone goes there. Mr. Rhodes dines there when he's in town. Mr. Barnato, Mr. Horadsky, Dick Turpin, Cesar Borgia, Benedict Arnold," Sean continued for him.
"All right, you've convinced me. I'll take a chance on having my throat cut." Sean went out to the front entrance with Katrina on his arm. The splendour of the Golden Guinea subdued even Sean a little. A waiter with a uniform like a major general's led them down a marble staircase, across the wide meadow of carpet between the group of elegant men and women, to a table that even in the soft light dazzled with its bright silver and snowy linen. Chandeliers of crystal hung from the vaulted ceiling. The band was good, and the air was rich with the fragrance of perfume and expensive cigars. Katrina stared helplessly at the menu until Sean came to her rescue and ordered the meal in a French accent that impressed her, but not the waiter. The wine came, and with it Sean's high spirits returned. Katrina sat quietly opposite him and listened. She tried to think of something witty to answer him with. In their wagon or alone in the veldt they could talk for hours at a time, but here she was dumb. "Shall we dance?" Sean leaned across the table and squeezed her hand. She shook her head.
"Sean, I couldn't. Not with all these people watching. I'd only make a fool of myself."
"Come on, I'll show you how it's easy."
"No, I couldn't, truly I couldn't."
And to himself, Sean had to admit that the dance floor of the Golden Guinea on a Saturday night was not the best place for a waltz lesson. The waiter brought the food, great steaming dishes of it. Sean addressed himself to it, and the one-sided conversation wilted. Katrina watched him, picking at the too rich food herself, acutely conscious of the laughter and voices around them, feeling out of place and desperately miserable.
"Come on, Katrina,"
Sean smiled at her. "You've hardly touched your glass.
Be a devil. Get a little of that in you to warm you up."
Obediently, she sipped the champagne. She didn't like the taste. Sean finished the last of his crayfish thermidor, and leaning back in his chair, glowing with wine and good food, he said,
"Man, I only pray the chef can keep the rest of the meal up to that standard."
He belched softly behind his fingers and ran his eyes contentedly round the room. "Duff used to say that a well-cooked crayfish was proof that—" Sean stopped abruptly. He was staring at the head of the marble staircase. A party of three had appeared there, two men in evening dress hovering attentively on each side of a woman. The woman was Candy Rottenbach. Candy with her blonde hair piled on top of her head, Candy with diamonds in her ears and at her throat, her bosom overflowing her gown as white as the frothy head on a beer tankard. Candy with bright blue eyes above a red mouth, Candy poised and lovely. Laughing, she glanced towards him, and her eyes met his across the room. She stared in open disbelief, the laughter frozen on her lips. Then suddenly her poise was gone, and she was running down the stairs towards him, holding her skirts up to her knees, her escorts cantering after her in alarm, waiters scattering out of her path, and every head in the room turning to watch her. Sean pushed back his chair, stood up to meet her, and Candy reached him and jumped up to throw her arms around his neck. There was a long, incoherent exchange of greetings, and at last Sean prized her loose from his neck and turned her to face Katrina. Candy was flushed and panting with excitement. With every breath, her bosom threatened to spring out of her bodice, and she was still holding on to Sean's arm.
"Candy, I want you to meet my wife, Katrina. My dear, this is Candy Rottenbach." "How do you do?"
Katrina smiled uncertainly, and Candy said the wrong thing.
"Sean, you're kidding. You're married."
Katrina's smile faded. Candy noticed the change and went on quickly,
"But I must applaud your choice. I'm so pleased to meet you, Katrina. We must get together sometime and I'll tell you all about Sean's terrible past."
Candy was still holding Sean's arm, and Katrina was watching her hand, the long tapered fingers against the dark cloth of Sean's suit. Sean saw the direction of Katrina's eyes and tried tactfully to disengage himself, but Candy held on. "Sean, these are my two current beaux." They were standing to heel behind her like well-trained gun dogs.
"They're both so nice I can't make up my mind about them.
Harry Lattigan and Derek Goodman. Boys, this is Sean Courtney. You've heard lots about him." They shook hands all round.
"Do you mind if we join you?" asked Derek Goodman.
"I'd be upset if you didn't," said Sean. The men spread out to find chairs, while Candy and Katrina studied each other.
"Is this your first visit to Johannesburg, Mrs. Courtney?"
Candy smiled sweetly.
"I wonder where Sean found her. She's thin as a stick, and that complexion, that accent. He could have done better for himself. He could have had his pick."
"Yes, we won't be here very long, though."
She's a harlot. She must be. Her breasts half naked, and the paint on her face, and the way she touches Sean. She must have been his mistress. If she touches him again, I'll kill her.
Sean came back to the table carrying a chair and set it down for Candy. Candy's one of my old friends, my dear. I'm sure you two will like each other.
I'm sure we will,
said Candy. But Katrina didn't answer, and Candy turned back to him.
Sean, how wonderful it is to see you again. You look so well, as sunburnt and handsome as the first time I met you. Do you remember that day you and Duff came to eat at the hotel?
A shadow fell across Sean's face at the mention of Duff's name. Yes, I remember. He looked round and snapped his fingers for the waiter.
Let's have some more champagne.
I'll get it.
Candy's escorts cut in simultaneously, and then started wrangling good-naturedly as to whose turn it was.
Is Duff with you tonight, Sean?
Candy asked.
Candy, didn't Derek get the drinks last time? It's my turn now.
Harry sought her support. Candy ignored them and looked at Sean for a reply. But he turned and went round the table to the seat beside Katrina.
I say, old girl, can I have the first dance? Asked Derek.
I'll spin you for it, Derek. Winner pays but gets the first dance, Harry suggested. You're on.
Sean, I said, is Duff here tonight?
Candy looked at him across the table.
No, he's not. Listen, you two, how about letting me in on this?
Sean avoided her eyes and joined in the haggle with Harry and Derek. Candy bit her lip. She wanted to press Sean further. She wanted to know about Duff. Then suddenly she turned on her smile again. She wasn't going to plead with him.
What is this? She tapped Harry's shoulder with her fan. Am I going to be the prize in a game of chance? Derek will pay for the wine and Sean gets first dance.
I say, old girl, that's a bit rough, you know.
But Candy was already standing up.
Come on, Sean, let's see if you can still tread a stately measure.
Sean glanced at Katrina.
You don't mind, do you? Just one dance.
Katrina shook her head.
I hate her. She's a harlot.
Katrina had never in her life spoken the word out loud. She'd only seen it in her Bible, but now it gave her a fierce pleasure to think it. She watched Sean and Candy walk arm in arm to the dance floor.
Would you care to dance, Mrs. Courtney?
Said Derek. Katrina shook her head again, without looking at him. She was staring at Sean and Candy. She saw Sean take her in his arms, and a cold lump settled in her stomach. Candy was looking up into Sean's face, laughing at him, her arm on his shoulder, her hand in his.
She's a harlot.
Katrina felt her tears very near the surface, and thinking that word held them back. Sean swirled Candy into a turn. Katrina stiffened in her chair, her hands clenching in her lap. Their legs were touching. She saw Candy arch her back slightly and press her thighs against Sean. Katrina felt as though she were suffocating. Jealousy had spread up, cold and tight, through her chest.
I could go and pull him away, she thought. I could stop him doing that. He has no right. It's as though the two of them are doing it together. I know they have before. I know it now. Oh, God, make them stop it. Please make them stop it.
At last, Sean and Candy came back to the table. They were laughing together. And when he reached her chair, Sean dropped his hand on Katrina's shoulder. She moved away from it, but Sean seemed not to notice. Everybody was having a good time. Everybody except Katrina. Harry and Derek were jostling for position. Sean's big laugh kept booming out, and Candy was sparkling like the diamond she wore. Every few minutes, Sean turned to Katrina and tried to draw her into the conversation, but Katrina stubbornly refused to be drawn. She sat there, hating them all, hating even Sean. For the first time she was unsure of him, jealous and frightened for him. She stared down at her hands on the tablecloth in front of her, and saw how bony they were, chapped and reddened by the sun and wind, ugly compared to Candy's. She pulled them quickly into her lap and leaned across towards Sean.
"Please, I want to go back to the hotel. I don't feel well."
Sean stopped in the middle of a story and looked at her with a mixture of concern and dismay. He didn't want to leave, and yet he knew she was still sick. He hesitated one second, and then he said, "Of course, my fancy. I'm sorry, I didn't realize." He turned to the others. "We'll have to be going. My wife's not too strong. She just had one hell of a go of black water." "Oh, Sean, must you?" Candy couldn't hide her disappointment. "There's still so much to talk about." "I'm afraid so. We'll get together another night."
"Yes," agreed Katrina quickly. "Next time we come to Johannesburg, we'll see you."
"Oh, I don't know, perhaps before we go," Sean demurred. "Some night next week. How about Monday?" Before Candy could answer, Katrina interrupted.
"Please, Sean, can we go now? I'm very tired."
She started towards the stairs, but looked back to see Candy jump up and take Sean's arm, hold her lips close to his ear, and whisper a question. Sean answered her tersely, and Candy turned back to the table and sat down. When they were out on the street, Katrina asked,
"What did she say to you?"
"She just said goodbye," muttered Sean, and Katrina knew he was lying. They didn't talk again on the way back to the hotel. Katrina was preoccupied with her jealousy, and Sean was thinking about what Candy had asked and what he had answered.
"Sean, where's Duff? You must tell me."
"He's dead, Candy." The second before she turned back to the table, Sean had seen her eyes.